morning, and so good to be in the home of the Lord, right? We are home for Christmas in his house celebrating Jesus. And this is Harvest Time's living room, so I'm going to invite you, if you're sitting all the way in the back, if you can just come up close. Let's get real close like a family and celebrate Christmas together. Amen. God bless you, church. Together, go tell it. It's a family service today, so when I sing this with the kids, we do the echoes, and it goes, go, go, all right? So kids, you're in the service. I need you to scream real loud so we can teach the adults how it's done, okay? We're going to practice it. Ready? One, two, three, and go,
go,
tell it on the mountains, over the hills.
Jesus Christ is born.
While shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go,
go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere.
Go,
go
tell it on the mountains
that Jesus Christ is born.
Go tell it.
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere.
Go
tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Coming for behold.
All generations, all generations. There's no other name. There's no other name like yours, Jesus. Like yours, Jesus. There's no other name. There's no other name like yours, Jesus. Like yours, Jesus.
He's here. I think of the wise men when they arrived at that place. And the only thing that they could do is just bow and give everything that they had, because they were standing before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word that was in the beginning and became flesh. The one that was prophesied so many times in the Old Testament, and they followed that star, and they were arrived at that place, that simple and humble place. They encounter the King of Kings. And today we're here in front of the King of Kings one more time, celebrating his birth. And all we could do is just humble ourselves and give everything that we have to the Lord of Lords, Jesus. We fall down, we laid our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He's the Lamb. We cry, holy. We cry, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Everybody, God bless you. Turn around, greet one another, and you may be seated.
Hey everyone. so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit hdchurch.com.
Have you joined one of our serve teams? We have a lot of opportunities for you to get involved. Scan the QR code or visit our Connect desk in the lobby to find
Click on Give at the top of the page, or use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week. Bye.
Moments to wait on us for our giving, and we want to say thank you for all of your loving financial support of HTC during 2022. Thank you for being faithful in the Lord's tithe. I want to share with you, we had a special need this past week, and we hope that you can help us with it if you're willing to do so. Our parking lot lights were out of commission, and we couldn't figure out why. By God's grace, we were actually able to get a team of electricians here this past week. How many of you know, Pastor, that's a Christmas miracle, amen? Well, they found that the culprit, the reason for the lights being out, was mice who ate all the wires, and the results were shocking. So, if you can't have a dad joke on Christmas morning, when can you have a dad joke, right? But certainly the results were a shock to the mice who met their maker. Well, repairs have begun, and unfortunately, there will be more repairs to come, new wires that have to go in all those poles and such. So we hope that you can help us take care of that need if you're able to do something a little extra by the end of this year so that we can begin 2023 on the best footing possible. You can use the envelope that's in your program this morning to give in a few different ways. You can give by check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can give using a debit card or a credit card, and if you'd like to give that way, please make sure you fill in all of that card information, including those little three security digits there. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your gifts, again, please make sure that we know who you are so that we can get you the credit that you need. You can always give online through our website at hdchurch.com or through our Realm app. You can also give by text, and instructions on how to give by text are on the screen for you. Another quick word about giving. Obviously, the year is drawing quickly to a close, and if you are giving and you'd like to make sure that you receive tax credit for a gift that is made in 2022, please be sure that your gifts are received here at the church no later than December 31st, or else make sure that if you're mailing in a gift, make sure that it's postmarked no later than the 31st so that you can get tax credit for this current year. A couple of quick notes for you about our schedule. The church office is going to be closed this week. However, if you have an emergency, if you need a pastor, jump onto our website at hdchurch.com. You'll see there's a contact link at the top of the homepage, and when you click on that contact link, you'll be able to find an emergency phone number to reach one of our pastors. Come back and worship with us this coming Saturday, New Year's Eve. We're going to be gathering in one single service here at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock New Year's Eve. It's a great way to kick off 2023. And then on Sunday morning, New Year's Day, we'll again be right here in one single service at 10:30. We're going to be taking communion as a church family together, both on New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day. And we hope that you'll come and start the year off right and worship with us. Then on January 8th, the following Sunday, we'll resume our regular Sunday schedule, 9 o'clock and 10:30. Going to ask the ushers to come now and wait on us for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the Father's blessing upon us and upon these gifts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this beautiful season of the year, we remember how you gave us your only Son, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Your Word says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thank you for meeting, Lord, all of our needs together with Christ. Receive these tithes and gifts now from a grateful people. Multiply them for the spread of your kingdom, and please continue to prosper your faithful people in the year ahead. Lord, as you sent Jesus, so send us. Let your kingdom come and your will be done through us, Lord, all throughout our region and all across the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give today.
Christmas isn't just a time to decorate your house, to spend time with loved ones, and to open long-awaited presents. Christmas is a time to remember. To remember that salvation doesn't come from within, it comes from above. To remember that infinitely better than the magic of Christmas is the miracle of Emmanuel. To remember that God was not and is not untouched by the pain and suffering of this world. To remember that Jesus isn't just part of the Christmas story, but Christmas is part of the Jesus story. To remember that there is no grace without a cross and no cross without a manger. To remember that Jesus doesn't just want us to remember what he did, but to join him in what he is doing. So this year, let the lights remind you of the light of the world who came into darkness for us. Let the gifts remind you of the greatest gift of all. And this year, make your heart like Bethlehem and receive the King.
I thought I lost him. I was terrified. We spent more than a day looking. I kept asking Joseph over and over, how could we have left him? How did we know he wasn't with us? My son, my Jesus. He's only 12, you know, 12 years old, and yet he astounds me every day. We finally find him after desperately searching, and you know where he is? The temple. We should have known. We should have. But there he was, sitting with a group of the teachers, old men, listening, nodding his head, speaking his mind. Looking back, I know they were impressed by his words, but I was too worried, too upset. I was angry. I said, son, why have you done this to us? See, your father and I have sought you anxiously. We had been looking for him for 3 days. And you know what he is, what he says. He responds, why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? I'm astounded. This walk, this life that I've been given, it is not to be believed. I've been blessed with a loving husband, wonderful children, but I carry this precious promise that I hold close to my heart. I don't know when it will be revealed. I know what I've been told, what has been revealed to me. It's so hard to fathom the promises and the prophecies. I am just one woman, one mother. But I believe my God. I am his. And he has given me the most incredible gift that I am not worthy of. Every day I wake up and I ask what God will have me to do that day. I am just trusting that with every step, he will guide me, teach me, and change me from the inside out. I have seen that Jesus is more than just special. The angel foretelling his birth told me what he will be called. Great, Son of the Most High, he will have the throne of David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end. Oh, how is it possible? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. The things that have been said to me, the things that I've been told about my son, I am still in awe. I don't often allow myself to think back on the night he was born, but every so often, I close my eyes and I think back on that day. The long donkey ride, Joseph pounding on doors, trying to get us in somewhere, anywhere. The stable, the pain, the joy, him, my son. After the shepherds left, took him out of the manger, I held him in my arms, and I knew that this moment would be forever etched in my memory. Just a young girl, no experience, just faith. I looked into his eyes, and I knew he was mine, and I was his, forever. Hold on now, I gotta take a deep breath. Don't know what to say when I look in your eyes. You made the world before I was born. Here I am holding you in my arms tonight.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. That was our friend Courtney Menken. Courtney and Steve came to us earlier this year from Times Square Church, and Courtney is involved with Christian theater across the country. Would you like to hear Courtney sing again sometime? That was beautiful, wasn't it? Well, we're glad you've joined us today. It's Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Day. It's Christmas Sunday, and we're so glad that you're with us today. I want to read for a few minutes the Christmas story from the Gospel of John. John writes in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, children born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is God himself, has made him known to us." And that's the Christmas story. Amen. On your way in, you received a paper plate with a crayon taped to the back of it. Would you take your paper plate, if you have it this morning, and we're going to play a little Christmas game today. This paper plate and this crayon are going to help us better understand the meaning of the incarnation. The word carne means flesh. The incarnation means God became human flesh. That's what we're celebrating today. God's arrival into the world the same way that we all arrive in the world through birth. But what's the significance? Why did he come? And what does it mean for my life 2,000 years later? Why is the incarnation of God a cause for celebration 2,000 years later that we call Christmas? Hopefully, this paper plate and this crayon are going to help us to understand it a little bit better today. We're going to play a Christmas party game. I want you to play along because we have prizes for you, for the best artist today. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your paper plate and I want you to put it on your head. Now, I want you to take the crayon, and holding the plate on your head, I want you to draw a line on, don't look, don't take your plate off your head, keep your plate on your head, and I want you to use the crayon, and I want you to draw a line for a floor. All right, you got your floor. Now, I want you to draw a Christmas tree. Y'all should see yourselves. You look good. I want you to, if you like, I want you to add some decorations to your, don't, no looking. I want you to add some decorations to your Christmas tree, if you like. Some people like heavily decorated trees. Some people like minimalist trees. All right, you got your tree? You got some decorations on your tree. Now I want you to draw a star on top of your tree. All right. You got your star? All right. Now next to the tree, I want you to draw a fireplace with a mantle. All right, fireplace with a mantle. You all look good. All right, now I want you to draw a pretty Christmas stocking hanging from the mantle. Make a nice Christmas stocking. All right, no peeking. All right. You got your Christmas stocking? Last thing, I want you to draw a present beneath your tree. All right, we got a lot of Rembrandts in here. Okay, you done? All right, let's take a look. Take a look at your picture. All right, let's see. We're out of control. let's see who drew the best Christmas scene. All right, I want you to take your crayon and we're gonna score your picture. Okay, we're gonna give your picture a score. Here's how we're gonna do it. If your Christmas tree touches the floor, I want you to give yourself 2 points. All right, you can keep score. You can use your crayon to keep score. If you don't want to mess up your pretty picture, you can keep score on the other side. All right, if your tree touches the floor, give yourself 2 points. All right, if your stocking touches your mantle, I want you to give yourself 2 points. All right, we're on the honor system here. All right, if your star touches your tree, give yourself 1 point. If your star touches your tree, it can touch anywhere. If it touches your tree, give yourself 1 point. If your star is above your tree, give yourself 1 point. All right, now, here's the secret. Those of you that have played this game before know, I want you to give yourself 1 point for every ornament on your tree. Here's how you can rack up some points. 1 point, it has to be on your tree, all right? It's not an ornament floating in space. It's got to be touching your tree. But give yourself 1 point for every ornament on your tree. All right. Give yourself 1 point if your fireplace does not touch your tree. That's a fire hazard. All right, if your fireplace doesn't touch your tree, give yourself 1 point. All right, now, if you drew something decorative on your stocking, give yourself 1 point. I told you to make it a pretty Christmas stocking. All right, one last thing. If your present is under your tree, I want you to give yourself 1 point. Okay, and I want you to score it. Add up all your points. Add it, because we have some prizes. All right, now I need some fast runners. Aiden Cliff, would you come and help me? Aiden, come help me. Emmy Mendez, would you come and help me, honey? Would you come? All right, give Aiden and Emmy a hand while they come, because they're gonna hand out the prizes. Come stand right here with me if you would, please. All right, so without Christmas ornaments, the maximum points that you can get is 10 points. Okay, so is there anybody here that has more than 20 points? Anybody here that has more than 20 points? You have more than 20 points. Allison, you have more than 21? Yes, that's more. Denise, you have more than, you have 20? 21. Okay, both stand up. Allison and Denise, Aiden, take two of those little bags and take it to your mom and take it to Mrs. Conzo. All right, thank you so much. All right, give them a hand. All right. 21 points. Does anybody have 20 points? 20 points, 20 points. We have one there and we have one there. All right, Emmy, I want you to take one bag and take one bag from this side. And I want you to give, if you had 20 points, just keep your hand up and we'll take the gifts to you. All right. Okay, one last one. Anybody with 19 points? 19 points. 19? Anybody have? Oh, we got 19 in the back. All right, Aiden, all the way. Take that last bag and take it all the way to my friend Ron, all the way in the back there. All right, let's give everybody a big hand for... Okay, so how does this help us understand the meaning of Christmas? How does this help us understand the mystery and the meaning of the incarnation? Maybe we could think about it this way. First of all, in the beginning, God made a perfect picture. John wrote, "Through him all things have been made. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made." St. Paul wrote, "In him all things were created." Within himself, God drew the vast universe of shining stars and spinning galaxies. And within the expanse of this universe, God set a shimmering blue and green marble called Earth. You know, mankind has scanned the heavens for centuries. Now, with the help of the James Webb Telescope, we can look further into space than ever before. Still, we have never found anything that remotely resembles the Earth. We've never discovered another planet with life on it or another planet suitable for sustaining life. God shaped the Earth with mountains and oceans, with forests and rivers and prairies and lakes, and God filled all of these with plants and animals and fish and fowl. And then for his grand finale, God made men and women, and it was all good. He made a perfect picture. And then God gave us the freedom to alter his picture. John wrote, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." He's the true light that gives light to every person. Does anybody remember the children's book, Harold and the Purple Crayon? Am I the only? Let me see your hand if you remember Harold and the Purple Crayon. You might have to be of a certain age to remember that children's book. Harold is a four-year-old boy who has a purple crayon that enables him to add whatever he wants to the world just by drawing it. Harold wants to go for a walk in the moonlight, but the moon isn't out, so Harold draws a moon in his world. But he has nowhere to walk, so he draws a path and he begins his adventure. God created mankind and he handed each one of us a purple crayon, if you will. God created us with a free will. He created us with the light of human consciousness and with the light of human conscience. Everything else in creation is regulated by natural law. Every other living creature is governed by instincts, but humans are unique in creation. We are made in the image of God. He gave us the ability to think and to emote and to communicate and to make moral choices. And God gave us the power to create more people, each with his or her own purple crayon. God made a perfect picture. He gave us the power, the freedom, the independence to alter his picture. And what did we do? Through disobedience, we messed up his picture. John says that the world was plunged into darkness. The serpent beguiled Adam and Eve and convinced them that they could use their purple crayons to choose disobedience to God. The serpent convinced them that they could create a better picture on their own without God. The serpent told them that they could start new with a blank sheet of paper and create whatever life they wanted for themselves. The serpent told them that they could be their own art directors, that they could become master artists in their own right. Their disobedience separated them from God and plunged the whole human race into spiritual blindness. We all started drawing blindly with our purple crayons. Like trying to draw a picture on the top of your head, everything became off kilter, everything became out of proportion, everything became unrecognizable and not so beautiful. We became insecure and defensive, blaming one another, becoming isolated, perpetually dissatisfied, obsessive self-medicators, envious, quarrelsome, even violent. The image of God inside of us, the picture that he stamped inside of us, was badly marred. The beautiful picture that God made, we made much less beautiful. You know, it took the master artist Michelangelo 5 years to paint 345 figures on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. He did it 70 feet in the air, lying on his back on a scaffold, considered one of the greatest masterpieces of art in human history. But shortly after Michelangelo's death, a controversy arose because the figures on the ceiling weren't clothed, and so they paid some hack to come in and add breeches and fig leaves to Michelangelo's masterpiece, and he ruined the picture. God made a perfect picture. He gave us the power to alter the picture, and through disobedience, we disfigured God's picture. So God did what only God could do. God himself entered into the picture. John wrote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That brings us to Christmas morning, to the incarnation. God became human flesh. Look at your plate for just a second, if you would. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to climb into that picture that you drew. Go ahead, I'll wait while you do it. Just jump right into your picture. Why aren't you doing it? Wait, you can't? You can't jump into your picture?
No.
Why not? Because only God can do that. Yeah. Only God can draw a picture and then enter into it himself. Yeah. Only God could make something and then actually become a part of what he made. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. It's the mystery of the incarnation. Without ceasing to be God in any regard, God became a man. Without ceasing to be eternal, God entered into the boundaries of time and space, as if we three-dimensional beings could enter into a one-dimensional picture on a page. Without ceasing to be the sustainer of all things, God became a creature in the world that he created. Without ceasing to be what God always was, he became something that he previously was not. How did God do that? Well, I don't rightly know. St. Paul wrote, "Without question, great is the mystery of godliness. He appeared in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory." How did God enter into his own pictures? Not even the angels know how God did it, but we know why he did it. God came to fix our broken picture from the inside out. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Kind of begs the question, why couldn't God just fix the picture from heaven? Why did God have to enter into the picture and fix it from the inside out? Well, you see, there's the problem of our purple crayons. God gave us each a free will, and he gave us the ability to make either good or bad moral choices. He gave us the autonomy to obey him or to disobey him, and he gave us the ability to make more people, each with his or her own purple crayon. A man with a purple crayon, Adam, started this whole mess, so a man with a purple crayon was required to fix the mess. But no ordinary person could do it. Not even the heroes of the faith. Noah couldn't do it. Abraham, Moses couldn't do it. Joshua couldn't do it. Miriam, Deborah, Esther, David, Solomon, none of them could do it. None of us was capable of coloring completely inside the lines. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So God did what had to be done, and what only God could do, God became a man. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God, and then he offered his innocent blood on the cross. It's impossible to grasp the significance of Christmas without fast-forwarding to the Easter story. The reason that God entered into our broken picture was to pay the penalty for our sins and to offer himself as a sacrifice. I'm indebted to Pastor Nick for passing this poem along to me. It's called The Maker of the Universe by William Frederick Pitt. The maker of the universe as a man, for man was made a curse. The claims of the law which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bough which grew the thorns that pierced his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places that he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree upon which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid its face from him, by his decree was poised in space. The spear which spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks that his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, but a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Looking around at the hot mess that this world is, you might wonder, how has his coming fixed anything? The way that God fixes things is by fixing people from the inside out, one at a time. There's a moment of believing on Jesus. There's a moment of believing in his incarnation, in his sinless life, in his death on the cross, in our place. There's a moment of believing in his resurrection on the third day. There's a spark of faith sent by God himself into our hearts. It's the gift of saving faith. And in that moment of believing, our sins are lifted off of us and they're placed on Christ on the cross, and his righteousness is placed upon us instead. Jesus said in that moment of believing, something so radical happens, it's like being born all over again. It's being born again. And then God sets to work in our life, fixing our picture. God sets to work turning our mess into something beautiful and useful. How can a paper plate and a crayon help us understand the meaning of Christmas? God made a perfect picture. He gave us the power to alter the picture, and we made a mess. So God entered into our picture to make us something beautiful. And that, Charlie Brown, is the meaning of Christmas. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Let's give him a great big praise in this place. I want you to lift up your faces to the Lord. Lift up your voices. Let's lift up our hands. And let's just sing one more time as a song of worship that chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Would you lift up your voices? Let's sing. Everybody puts up photos on Facebook and Instagram and on TikTok, and they like to paint the picture that their life is perfect. They have the perfect bod and the perfect family and the perfect car and the perfect home and the perfect moments in their life. But the truth is, without Jesus, we're all a mess. Without Jesus, everybody's life is just as messy as that picture you drew on that paper plate this morning. But thank God, he stepped into our picture to fix our mess from the inside out. The way that we respond to the message of Jesus is through praying a prayer of believing on him. If you're willing, would you lift up your faces to the Lord? Lift up your hands. And I want to lead us in a prayer of believing. And if you're willing, I want to invite you to follow after me. And let's put our faith in Christ today. I'll lead, and I want to invite you to follow me in a nice, clear voice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. thank you for sending your only son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, fix my picture. Forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me clean. Set every crooked thing straight. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit and make my life beautiful. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord one more good praise in this place. God bless you, everyone. The worship team's going to finish with a Christmas song, and we're going to go out celebrating. Merry Christmas to everyone. God be with you. The office will be closed this week. If you need a pastor, you can call the pastor on call line. New Year's Eve, 5 o'clock, communion service. We hope to see you. God be with you. Merry Christmas.